Well, what's Universal Time? Stay tuned for Daybreak Africa coming up after these latest world news headlines.
I'm Ray Kugel reporting. President Obama's stop in Ethiopia to focus on South Sudan's conflict. The two-day trip scheduled to include bilateral talks today with the Ethiopian leaders and convening a meeting of East African heads of state to discuss ways to end the 19-month South Sudan conflict. Mr. Obama spent the past 2 days in his father's homeland of Kenya, and he delivered a speech before departing Sunday. Arupande reports.
I am proud to be the first American president to come to Kenya. And of course, I'm the first Kenyan American to be president of the United States.
With that rousing reception, this son of a Kenyan father ended his historic visit to the nation with a call to the country's youth to continue on an arc of progress that sheds the corruption, cronyism, and tribalism of the past.
Progress requires that you honestly confront the dark corners of our own past, extend rights and opportunities to more of your citizens. See the differences and diversity of this country as a strength, just as we in America try to see the diversity of our country as a strength and not a weakness.
Arupande, VOA News, Nairobi.
At least 9 people were killed and 20 wounded in Somalia's capital Mogadishu Sunday when a car bomb exploded outside the Jazeera Hotel hosting several foreign embassies. It was considered among the most secure hotels in the Somali capital. The militant group Al-Shabaab claimed responsibility for the explosion that heavily damaged the hotel near Mogadishu International Airport. In its aftermath, the White House denounced the attack, calling it abhorrent. This is VOA News. Turkey called for a special meeting of the NATO alliance to talk about its military operations against the Islamic State group and PKK Kurdish separatists. The NATO meeting is scheduled for Tuesday in Brussels. Turkey's been carrying out air and artillery strikes on Islamic State militants in Syria and PKK Kurdish rebel bases in Iraq in recent days. Turkey launched the offensives in response to a series of deadly attacks in its territory this month, attacks it blames on both the Islamic State group and the PKK, who themselves are bitter rivals. Syria's president acknowledged in a speech broadcast live on state television Sunday that the military's given up some regions of the country as it battles insurgents. In rare public comments, President Bashar al-Assad described the conflict as an existential battle against terrorists and outside armies supported by powerful regional and international states. He also acknowledged the ranks of the army are dwindling through deaths, defections, and increased draft dodging. Syria's government forces have been pushed out of most of the northwestern province of Idlib and important areas of the southern border region. Intense fighting broke out Sunday in Yemen for control of the country's largest airbase, with the Houthi leader rejecting a call from the Saudi-led Arab coalition fighting the insurgents for a 5-day humanitarian truce. Houthi chief Abdul Malik al-Houthi said a ceasefire would only benefit the Islamic State and al-Qaeda militants. Israeli police and Palestinian rioters have confronted each other at the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem's walled Old City. The Palestinians threw stones and fireworks at Israeli security personnel after Jewish ultranationalists visited the raised platform housing the mosque on Sunday. Israeli police responded with stun grenades. Israeli security forces briefly entered the Al-Aqsa Mosque and locked the demonstrators inside, trying to restore calm. The visit coincided with the Jewish observance of Tisha B'Av, the annual day of mourning for the destruction of the historic Jewish temples at the site, which Jews revere as the Temple Mount. Muslims call the site the Noble Sanctuary, the third holiest site in Islam. An explosion set off by a female suicide bomber killed at least 15 people at a market in the northeastern Nigerian town of Damaturo, the capital of Yobe State. Late Saturday, a female bomber detonated herself inside a popular bar in the northern Cameroonian regional capital of Maruna, killing at least 20 and wounding dozens. And authorities in northeastern Afghanistan confirmed Sunday the Taliban captured a key military base in clashes after more than 100 Afghan security forces surrendered to the insurgents. I'm Ray Kugel in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Good morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Bote in Washington. Today's Monday, July 27th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. U.S. President Barack Obama is in Ethiopia, and the opposition there has a message for him.
My message is that we must have democratic institutions like the judiciary system, the media, the National Election Board, and also the civil society. There should be independence.
Gezashu Jefera is the former president of the opposition Unity for Democracy and Justice Party of Ethiopia. President Obama tells Kenya to fix its culture of corruption and discrimination. A bomb blast at a Mogadishu hotel kills 13, mostly civilians. Fresh Boko Haram attacks killed at least 20 in Cameroon. And Burundi's opposition will issue a declaration today, Monday, about the July 21st controversial presidential election.
All the political parties and organizations like to make known everybody that for us what is called the elections of the 21st is a coup organized by the President Nkurunziza.
Frederick Bavuga is the vice president of the opposition Frodebo Nyakuri Party of Burundi, and Liberia celebrates 168th independence anniversary. Those stories plus Mark Oldman Sports and our listener of the day are coming up on Daybreak Africa. U.S. President Barack Obama is expected to hold bilateral talks today with Ethiopian Prime Minister Hailemariam Desalegn. Mr. Obama arrived in Addis Ababa on Sunday from Kenya. Gezashu Jefera is former president of the opposition Unity for Democracy and Justice Party of Ethiopia. He says the opposition would like for President Obama to press the prime minister for political freedoms in Ethiopia, including an independent judiciary, media, a national election commission, and civil society.
The current political environment is totally closed. There is no political space for a nation like Ethiopia. We must operate democratically in an institutional manner, in such a way that democratic institutions are not currently functioning and they are totally controlled by the ruling party. We can cite, cases, the media. There is no independent mass media currently, and most of them have been jailed and most of them have left the country. So virtually we don't get any balanced view from the current, government-controlled media. The other problem is the judiciary system. The judiciary system is now almost a political instrument of the ruling party. The other institutional setup is the political oppositions. Oppositions are not able to function, They cannot call public meetings. They cannot conduct, town hall meetings, They cannot get offices to rent for their branch offices. So they are totally, they are not functioning as expected, by the constitution.
If you said there's no democratic institutions are not functioning, well, the government will argue that it had a successful election.
Even in a democratic setup like, Norway and the past also United Kingdom, government, Germany, it is difficult even in a democratic institution, it's difficult to get even 50+1%. What makes it new in Ethiopia, for in a country where there's a lot of diversity in ethnicity, not possible, to get 100%, It is shameful, even for the government and even for all, supporters. In this current situation, no government, no party can get, 100% in Ethiopia. That is really an indication of irregularities of the election.
If President Obama is supposed to meet with your prime minister, Mr. Desalegn, what would you want for him to tell your prime minister?
My personal view is that, I want President Obama, to put some sort of, pressure, negotiation, constructive engagement, in functioning the democratic institutions. We want, this democratic institution to be independent, free. That's my message. Simple. My message is that we must have democratic institutions like the judiciary system, the media, the civil society, the National Election Board. They should be independent from a party pressure. If these democratic institutions are functioning, I think the Ethiopian people are very, very, very well informed to elect their own government.
Jisashi Ushefera is a former president of the opposition Unity for Democracy and Justice Party of Ethiopia. He was speaking with me from the capital, Addis Ababa. U.S. President Barack Obama bade farewell to Kenya on Sunday with a major speech at a stadium outside the capital, Nairobi, where he called on Kenyans to change the cultures of corruption and discrimination that can hold a society back. VOA East Africa correspondent Gabe Jaslow has the story.
President Obama got personal during his speech to the Kenyan people, recalling the struggles of his Kenyan father and how times have changed since he first visited the country 27 years ago.
Saying the first time I came to Kenya, things were a little different. When I arrived at Kenyatta Airport, the airline had lost my bags. That doesn't happen on Air Force One.
In a wide-ranging speech, Mr. Obama praised Kenyan progress in the 50 years since independence, but called on the people to address the serious challenges still facing the country.
I want to be very clear here. A politics that's based solely on tribe and ethnicity is a politics that's doomed to tear a country apart. It is a failure. Terrorists who try to sow chaos, they must be met with force, and they must also be met, though, with a forceful commitment to uphold the rule of law and respect for human rights. Here in Kenya, it's time to change habits and decisively break that cycle, because corruption holds back every aspect of economic and civil life.
As Mr. Obama left the stadium, some young leaders who attended the speech said they were moved by the president's words, particularly his encouragement for young people and women.
What I loved most about his speech is that he told the youth that hope lies with us, that the future lies with us, that solutions are not in America, solutions are not abroad.
It was a very good point even to emphasize that women are the changers of the world.
This was President Obama's final day in Kenya. He left later for Ethiopia, where he will meet with that country's government and leaders of the African Union. Gabe Jaslow, VOA News, Nairobi.
Burundi's opposition parties and civil society groups are expected to issue today, Monday, what they are calling a declaration on the July 21st presidential election, in which President Pierre Nkurunziza won a controversial third term by capturing nearly 70% of the vote. All the major opposition parties boycotted the vote. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry said the results were the culmination of a deeply flawed electoral process. Frederick Bavuga is vice president of the opposition Frudebu Nyakuri Party of Burundi. He says the declaration will have three key elements.
The first element is all the political parties and organizations like to make known everybody that for us what is called elections of the 21st is a coup organized by the President Nkurunziza. The second is that we'll never accept institutions who will be set up according to those elections. The third element is we are asking regional and international community not to accept institutions which will be set up from those elections.
I read a story where Mr. Agathon Rwasa is calling for new election. Is that part of the resolution that you came up with?
Yes. This declaration is being signed by everybody, and it will be released tomorrow. But this is the content of that declaration. It's for us, a coup against the Constitution and a coup against the Arusha Peace Agreement and the reconciliation.
Therefore, as part of that, you will be calling for a new election. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right, because when they decided to withdraw from negotiations, we were with the new facilitator and we were discussing about the new timetable of those elections. This is to mean that for us, elections we want are not yet there. We are waiting for the facilitator to help us to go on this negotiation between or among us as Burundians.
I spoke with the spokesperson for President Pierre Nkurunziza, Willy Nyamitwe, and he says that the president is open to the idea of a government of national unity.
You know, that government of unity is not concerned with our political parties, because that government must be from elections where everybody has a taken place, because if we have the elections of today, everybody was not there. For example, you remember that only the ruling party, the CNDD FDD, and other political parties which are with that ruling party only participated to those elections. It means that institutions from those elections are not acceptable by ourselves.
Frederick Bavuga is the vice president of the opposition Frudebu Nyakuri Party of Burundi. He was speaking with me from the capital, Bujumbura. Today is Monday, July 27th, and you're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Please send your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. Daybreak Africa time is 16 minutes past the hour. At least 13 people were killed and 25 wounded in Somalia's capital on Sunday when a car bomb exploded outside a hotel that hosts the Chinese and Egyptian embassies. The Somali militant group Al-Shabaab has claimed responsibility for the blast that targeted the Hotel Jazeera near Mogadishu International Airport. The hotel is often used by members of parliament and journalists in addition to foreign diplomats. Officials have released no details about the victims. Dr. Mohamed Yusuf is with the Medina Hospital where the wounded were treated. He said most of the wounds were caused by fragments from the explosion.
We have received 25 wounded people inside the hospital. Among them, 21 we admitted, and 4, they were slightly injured. And then after we gave them the health care they needed, we discharged them. The other 21, one of them, while in the emergency room, the patient has. So other 20, they are admitted, and we will see tomorrow. Some of them, they are critically in observation, 3 of them with vascular injury.
Did you receive any dead bodies?
We received 4 so far.
4 plus the one who died in the hospital?
So they will be 5.
So exactly tell me what caused these injuries. Is this as a result of explosion burns or shrapnels or rubble from the building?
No, rubble from the building can happen, but mostly was due to those explosives which was carried inside those exploded. Maybe, I don't know whether it was a car or other thing, but mostly they have been injured by those fragments of the bomb.
And compare the wounded from this explosion to previous explosions. Is there any pattern, any similarities, any difference?
No, but recently what we were receiving, after the explosion, they were causing something like a large burn surface. Today we didn't see among the wounded people. We were seeing some other kind of explosion and fragments that were all scattered in the body, but there was no concomitant burns on the surface of the airport.
Dr. Mohamed Yusuf is with the Medina Hospital in Mogadishu, Somalia. He was speaking with Harun Maruf of VOA Somali Service. At least 20 people have been declared dead and 70 wounded after a suicide bombing late Saturday in the Cameroon town of Maroua. Officials said the suicide bomber was a 13-year-old girl. Moki Edwin Kinzeka reports from Yaoundé.
Cameroon Defense Minister Edgar Alemi Bengo says the young girl detonated a series of explosives in the popular Pont-Vert neighborhood, barely a kilometer from the scene of last Wednesday's twin suicide bomb attacks. Mebengo says the population must develop a culture of vigilance because Boko Haram has changed strategy.
Les populations doivent acquérir.
He says all suspects should be reported to the military that more than ever before needs the collaboration of the populace. He says he is urging business people, traditional rulers, administrative authorities, and everyone to constitute themselves in self-defense groups to save lives. There has been no claim of responsibility, but Mebengo blamed the terrorist group Boko Haram. The group, founded in neighboring Nigeria, pledged its allegiance to the Islamic State group and its leader, Abubakar Shekau, vowed to attack the Central African country because it supports Nigeria in its efforts to defeat Boko Haram. Last Wednesday, dozens of people were killed in Marwa in a twin suicide bomb attack in which two teenage girls, disguised as a merchant and a beggar, detonated bombs in a market and a popular neighborhood called Bamari, Moki. Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaoundé.
Liberia celebrated 168 years of independence yesterday, Sunday, with mixed feelings by some citizens about the progress their country has made or the lack thereof. In an informal survey conducted by the independent Front Page Africa newspaper, some Liberians said while there has been some progress, their country has regressed in areas such as education, health care, the fight against corruption, employment, and good governance, to name a few. Here in Washington, hundreds gathered Saturday at the compound of the Liberian Embassy to participate in an all-day cultural extravaganza to mark the occasion. Ambassador Jeremiah Solonte says although Liberia faces some difficult challenges, still Liberians have reasons to celebrate their 168th independence anniversary.
James, you know that a year ago, when Ebola struck Liberia and the whole West African region, Liberians could not celebrate their independence the way we do today. Our hearts are broken for the lives lost of 4,700, including 192 healthcare workers who were helping, trying to save lives that they themselves died. Our hearts are broken. But today we thank God that we have the courage, we have the opportunity to celebrate another independence of our country.
At an Independence Day diplomatic reception on Friday, the ambassador honored and paid tribute to some of those who helped Liberia during the Ebola crisis, particularly health workers. He also thanked the international community, including the United States, for what he called their robust and outstanding support.
We remember those who suffer, we remember those who die, we remember those who labor to get us where we are. Even as we do so, we appreciate the international community and our development partners, especially the United States, who came up with an outstanding, robust, upward support. And the resilience of the Liberian people, together with the strong leadership of our President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, that got Liberia where it is today in terms of fighting Ebola.
U.S. Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs, Bisa Williams, said the longstanding special bond between Liberia and the United States will remain forever strong. She said Liberia has overcome many challenges since independence and will do so in the face of the Ebola epidemic, and the United States will do its part to help.
We will remain fully engaged in a partnership with West Africa to build the capacity within the entire region to prevent, detect, and respond to future outbreaks before they become epidemics. As Liberia's unwavering partner, we will also remain committed to supporting Liberia's development and post-Ebola recovery plan.
Olivia Shannon, former director of the Liberia Broadcasting System, who is visiting the United States, had a message for Liberian parents here in the diaspora. She said they should teach their children well about the country of their birth.
And as we reflect over the years what we have experienced, we have a lot to teach the population we have now at home and abroad. Because a little boy came to the table I'm sitting that talking about education in Liberia, and he saw the picture of the little girls with a tablet, and he asked, what do they know about tablets? That tells me in his home, he has been told that the children in Liberia know nothing. So my thinking is that the people in America, the parents, themselves have to be taught about Liberia and what is happening there so that they give their kids the right information about their country.
Former Liberian broadcaster Jerry Weyon said he and other Liberians were thankful that there is no more war in Liberia, but he said the government of President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf has failed to deliver the development it promised 10 years ago.
That takes my memory back home. You know, July 26th, I know they're celebrating in Sino and Grand Cru County. But it's not well, the economy and the hardships of our people. But we are thankful there is peace, there's no more fighting, except that this president has not delivered the promises that she made to the Liberian people. It's 10 years now, still no water, no electricity.
Despite their misgivings about the achievements their country has made in 168 years of independence, Liberians danced to music by various Liberian artists as vendors sold all kinds of Liberian food, clothes, and artifacts. And now for Daybreak Africa Sports, and here is Mark Ouma in Johannesburg, South Africa. Very good Monday morning to you, Mark.
Good morning, James. In our Daybreak Africa Sports News, we begin with volleyball. Tunisia beat Morocco by 3-1 as Cameroon dismissed Rwanda 3-0 at the Africa Men's Volleyball Championships in Cairo, Egypt on Sunday. On Saturday, Tunisia dismissed Rwanda 3-0 and Morocco beat Mauritius 3-0. Kenya outclassed Botswana 3-0 as Egypt edged Algeria 3-2. On Friday, Morocco beat Cameroon 3-1 as Tunisia outplayed Mauritius 3-0. In football, Tanzania Milan's Young Africans pipped Sudan's Khartoum National 1-0 as Kenya's Gor Mahia beat Djibouti's Telkom 3-1 at the Council of Eastern Central Africa Association's Sekafa Kagame Club Championships in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania on Sunday. Earlier on Saturday, Tanzania Milan's Azam overpowered Ethiopia's Adama City 5-0 as Uganda's Kampala City Council Authority edged South Sudan's Malakia 1-0. On Friday, Khartoum National and Gor Mahia drew 1-1 as Tanzania Mainland's Young Africans beat Zanzibar's KMKM 2-0. In Russia, Somalia face Niger, South Sudan meet Mauritania, as Gambia play Namibia in the first round of the Africa 2018 FIFA World Cup qualifiers in October. According to the draws conducted in St. Petersburg on Saturday, Sao Tome and Principe face Ethiopia, Chad engage Sierra Leone as Comoro Islands encounter Lesotho, Djibouti meet Swaziland, Eritrea drew Botswana, Seychelles face Burundi, Liberia play Guinea-Bissau, Central African Republic engage Madagascar, Mauritius challenge Kenya, and Tanzania face Malawi. In athletics, Kenya's former world junior champion Conseslus Kipruto won 3,000 meters steeplechase at the IAAF Diamond League in London, Britain on Saturday. Botswana's Nigel Amos and South Africa's Wade Fanny Kirk triumphed in 800 meters and 400 meters respectively. Kenyans Asbel Kiprop, Eunice Sum, and Mercy Cherono prevailed in men's 1 mile, women's 800 meters and 5,000 meters respectively. South Africa's Zach Fisser and Louis Fancel were runners-up in men's long jump and 400-meter hurdles respectively, as Nigeria's Blessing Okagbare Igotegwonor was second in women's 100 meters. Early on Friday, Somalia-born Mohamed Farah of Britain won 3,000 meters in a lifetime best and world-leading time of 7 minutes and 34.66 seconds. And that's it for Daybreak Africa Sports News. I'm Mark Ouma in Johannesburg, South Africa. Back to you, James, in Washington.
Thank you, Mark. Have a good day. Briefly, before we leave you, a summary of Africa news. U.S. President Barack Obama has arrived in Ethiopia for 2 days of talks focused on terrorism, human rights, and the civil war in South Sudan. The president was welcomed Sunday at the Addis Ababa airport by Ethiopian Prime Minister Hailemariam Desalegn and then taken to the U.S. Embassy for a meeting with embassy staff. On Monday, Mr. Obama is scheduled to hold bilateral talks with Ethiopian leaders and convene a meeting of East African heads of state to discuss the South Sudan conflict. That's it for this Monday, July 27th edition of Daybreak Africa. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew, I'm James Butte in Washington, wishing all of you in Africa a very, very good Monday.
Escape from the humdrum and dance to the beat of an African drum. Hi, I am David Van, host of the Voice of America's African Beat. Splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. Join me Monday through Friday at 0900 and 2000 UTC for a soothing musical jam. I guarantee it.
Next time on Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss the controversial presidential election in Burundi as Nkurunziza is set to win a third term, and on the ongoing process of lifting presidential term limits in Rwanda that will allow President Kagame to run again. Join host Shaka Sali and his guests on Wednesday at 18:30 UTC. That's next time on VOA Africa.